So tonight, our 10-minute speaker is Nicole from San Diego.
Hello, my name's Nicole. I'm an alcoholic. Thank you. So I'm just going to start by getting it out of the way. I'm very nervous. This is a huge meeting. And I've been doing a lot of praying for just me not to fumble over my words, because that's what happens. And I swear a lot, too. So FYI, I'm sorry. So 10 minutes. So what it was like... When I was young, I was full of anxiety. I felt different than the other kids, you know. The only form of alcoholism that I had in my family was my grandfather, and my memory of him is always having a can of Budweiser and a cigarette, and him being very, very angry and very sick. So he came to live with us for a while, and he lived with us until he passed. And it's very sad, but I remember being happy that he had passed until, you know, later on in the night when it finally hit me that he wasn't going to be around anymore. So it just shows, like, how fearful I can be, you know, as a kid. And speaking of fear and feeling different from my fellows, quoting from the book, because I have no other way to put words to how I feel. But feeling different from my fellows as a child, I remember in third grade, I ran away from class because I didn't like my teacher, and I didn't like the kids, and I went back home, and there was my grandfather very angry that I was home, and I need to go right back to school. So at that point, it like didn't matter that I was scared, you know, and it didn't matter. So growing up, children were to be seen and not heard, and I played that very well. Let's see, I was not meant to feel, you know, when just stuff, you know, you don't talk about anything that happens in the house. I remember, you know, my parents, they were very stern, they were very strict, they were not, I'm grateful, you know, I was spanked as a child, and I'm very grateful for that. It wasn't to the extreme, but I do remember one time my brother told the school about what happened, and that was not okay. So you don't speak about what happens in the house. So I became very good at putting on a front. And that lasted me. So I was born in LA, and when I was 13 years old, my parents moved us up to Washington State. And so I'm 13 years old, you know, I'm going through puberty. I'm moving up to a new, they moved us up there in the middle of December, so it's like, sun, you know how the winters are down here, and then we move up to Washington where it's gray all the time and raining. So there's some things going on. I don't feel right in my skin. I can't speak about it with my mother or my father or really anybody except for my mom's best friend, and I don't want to say anything to her because I don't want to cause a rift between, you know, their friendship. So I just learned to cope, right? And so I'm going to fast forward to, so I was taught, you know, you always go to school, perfect attendance, and you graduate. You must graduate high school. After that, that's it. You know, that's it. No further education, you know, no extracurricular activities. I wanted to be in dance. I wanted to be, you know, in ballet. I wanted to be this, that, and the other thing. But nope, it didn't matter, you know. They had their own reasons. I'm from a middle class, lower middle class family. So I understand that the funds weren't there. But I'm still stuck with that mentality today. So up in Washington, not really knowing where to turn, who to talk to. I can't talk to my guidance counselors because I feel that they don't understand. They're more into the cliques, you know. I just feel different from. Until, you know, it's junior year and I'm 17 years old and my friend brings a screwdriver into school. She brings vodka and orange juice and a water bottle. And I'm in class, and she hands it to me, and I take that drink, and I feel like the breath of fresh air. It just relief. I can't think of what the word in the big book they describe it, but they describe it in here. This book describes me. I felt relief from that first drink, but I also have a fear of authority figures, and so I got scared that I didn't want to get in trouble. So I didn't really start using until senior year in high school when I had fifth and sixth period as elective classes. And my friend had a car, so we would skip school. And Another friend of mine was a military dependent, and she was able to get us onto the Navy base. So there was a lot of hanging out with Navy guys and skipping school. I got my first job at 18 years old, and that job supplied me the funds I needed to stay drunk and to just not feel and numb. The Big Book also talks about incomprehensible demoralization. There's a lot of blackout moments that I don't really remember. There were a lot of verbal and slightly physical abuse towards my parents. I was disrespecting my parents in their own home, disrespecting my friends, my coworkers, doing deals at work. I'm the type of drinker that likes to drink before work, during breaks, and after work. I also like to drive and drink. I like to drive very fast, even right now, but like today I still like to drive fast. I still look for that adrenaline rush, you know. I still look I still look to get high. I still look to get drunk on something, right? But see, I've never been in a car accident, you know, since drinking. I never, you know, hit anybody, you know, in all of my blackout drinking. I like to listen to music while drinking. I like the sound of beer cans under, you know, my seat. You know, but I don't think I have a problem with this. You know, I love to go into bars and to pick fights with people because I think, you know, I'm a fucking Amazon woman. And nothing can touch me. I feel like I'm invisible. And that's what happens when I drink. So a relationship brought me into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. Towards the end of my drinking, I was isolated. I drank all my friends away, even the people that drank like me. The people that drank like me didn't think I had a problem. But it's okay, because they didn't think they had a problem, so it was normal. Let me see. So I got in a relationship with a gal who came back into my life, and she drank like me, and she used like me, and she came back into my life. So I thought that this was meant to be. Things are coming full circle, right? So she was abusive like me, physically, mentally, verbally, and I don't know. I also have an aunt who's an alcoholic, and that aunt of mine had been in and out of treatment and in and out of detox, so I guess a seed was planted. Looking back, it was my higher power that brought me into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. And in that room, you people had like this lasso of hope, right? And you guys, I'm big on metaphors, so I love metaphors and the acronyms that get taught around here, because I have this destructive way of thinking. I have this mind that tells me I'm a piece of shit, and you guys tell me that I'm not. So either you're objectionable or I'm objectionable, and my head most definitely is, because if something works for you guys, then maybe it just might work for me. And that's what I got, you know. You guys had a lasso of hope, and that hope kept me coming back, and that hope keeps me coming back today, even though there's times where I don't want to. I got a sponsor. I worked the steps. I focused far too much on the differences rather than the similarities, which took me a very long time to get sober. I tried the controlled drinking, even though I didn't know that I was doing it. But when people talked about the shattered spirit, the broken soul, feeling empty inside and hollow, and the drink not working for that, like, I can understand that. You guys spoke words that I didn't know how to speak. You spoke words to how I felt, and that shit keeps me coming back, you know, because it allows me to learn more about myself. So getting a sponsor, working the steps, getting sober, and like a solution to the drink problem, you know, that first year, congratulations, I don't know where you're at, but the first year is fucking huge. Every day is huge. I'm still a suffering alcoholic today. I'm working the steps. I don't really want to own that and put that out in the universe, but I choose to suffer today because it is a choice for me to suffer. I can either get in the solution or I can stay stuck in the problem. And I chose to talk about fear. They talk about fear being classified as stealing, and I'm tired of stealing from my life, right? I owe it to myself to, like, finish this process, and it's going to be a lifetime process because I don't want to go back to that gift of desperation that I received. I don't want to be refunded that fucking gift ever again. I don't want to go back to that last drunk. And I'm grateful today that I chose a sponsor that calls me on my shit and that tells me that I need to be in a solution and tells me that what I'm doing is half measures, because I've half measured like the last 5 years of my sobriety and my life, 30-something years. I don't want to half measure the rest of my life. You know what I mean? So I need to keep suiting up, showing up, and doing the next indicated step. So I appreciate you guys being here so that I have somewhere to go. Thank you.